Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may wonder why it is I come up here as soon as I do. I do that because it gives me a chance to get myself here physically and get myself here mentally. I've been criticized for that by some people, but it works for me. And so you'll see me come up a little early. For me to walk up here immediately afterwards would mean I'm just not quite ready to do that yet. There was a tourist at the Grand Canyon, and he was walking along, looking over the edge and seeing the grandeur of that great cavern in the ground. And on one occasion, he stepped a little too close to the edge, and he went careening down the side of that canyon. And at the very last instant, he grabbed a hold of a scrubby little brush and held on with both hands, screaming his lungs out. Filled with terror, he looked up and said, "Is there anyone up there?" There was a calm voice that responded, looking, "Yes, there is someone up here." The tourist pleaded, "Can you help me?" And that calm voice replied, "Yes, I certainly can help you. Do you have faith?" "Yes, yes, I have a really strong faith." The calm voice replied, "Well then, in that case, let go of the bush. Everything will turn out just fine." There was a tense pause for many seconds, and then the tourist yelled out, "Is there anybody else up there?" That word faith is something that we hear about through all of the lessons that we have today. In the Old Testament, we read, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham, and his family were living in Haran, an area that is near to the current Iraqi and Turkey border today. God comes to him and says, "Pack up your things, go to the land that I will show you." He doesn't say, "Go south over the mountains and past the Sea of Galilee and follow along the Jordan River, and when you get to this long, narrow, salty sea, then I want you to turn right, because that's going to be taking you into the land that I promised you." God didn't say that. He simply said, "Go." And we read Abram's response very simply, "So Abraham went as the Lord commanded him." He didn't say why. He didn't say, "Where am I going?" He didn't say, "How long will this take?" Although, no doubt, somewhere along the journey, one of the children asked, "Are we there yet?" In the epistle today we read in Romans, Paul has been talking about being saved by grace through faith. And in chapter 4, where we begin to read, he uses Abraham as an example of faith. In a somewhat complicated way, he says, was Abraham made right with God because of what he did, or because of the faith that he had in following? Can you imagine Abraham walking into his tent one day, says to Sarai, "Okay, pack up our things, we're going to be moving in a couple of days." And she would naturally ask, "Well, where are we going?" And Abraham would say, "I don't know, God said we are off to go." And Sarai complies, and so we can see that she has faith as well. In the gospel lesson for today, Nicodemus is a Pharisee, and he recognizes that there's something special about Jesus because Jesus has done a lot of miracles. And he first of all addresses Jesus as rabbi. That was an honor that was given only to the trained and educated Pharisee preachers. But Nicodemus wants to honor him, and he wants to find out more about this Jesus. And so he comes to Jesus at night probably so the other Pharisees wouldn't see him, but also John uses the term darkness or at night to suggest spiritual darkness or ignorance. And certainly Nicodemus was living in spiritual darkness and was ignorant about Jesus' message. Jesus, knowing what's in his heart, begins to answer his question before he asks it. He reminds Nicodemus of the story of the serpents in the desert when the people of Israel were grumbling against God. You remember the story, God sent poisonous snakes among them, and when people got bit, they died. So God tells Moses to raise up a snake on a stick and says, if you trust, if you believe, if you have faith that looking at that snake will save you, it will prevent you from dying. That's the story that Jesus reminds Nicodemus of. It talks about faith. Well, what about us today? We Lutherans are well known for our belief in the statement that Paul makes on several occasions, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of works. We are really big on faith. And yes, works are good, but that's not what saves us. So how about your faith today? Is it weak? Is it strong? Is it faltering? Have you ever prayed and said, gee, Lord, I'd like to have a stronger faith? Or have you even wished that you had a stronger faith? Perhaps you have said, I wish I had a faith as strong as his or hers. Perhaps you feel today that your faith just isn't quite strong enough. My guess is that you answered yes to most of those questions, if not all of them. And so what about this subject of faith? If you go out and look at books, there are tons of them out there that are written about faith. There are books with many volumes that talk about faith. Easton's Bible Dictionary uses a page and a half to try to define what faith is. If you read through Paul's letters and the book of Hebrews, you'll find that there are 161 verses that use that word faith. So faith is not something that we can define easily, that we can kind of wrap our minds around easily. So what does it mean to have faith? Let me give you some examples. When you get in your car and you go over on Highway 20 and you start heading toward Corvallis or Lebanon, you're driving down the road at 55 or 60 miles an hour. And you see a car coming at you, also at 55 or 60 miles an hour. The rate of closure is somewhere over 100, maybe 120 miles an hour. Are you worried? Not terribly. You have faith. You trust that that other car is going to stay in its lane. You will stay in your lane. And despite the fact that you will both pass within 10 feet of each other, you're not worried. You have faith that that other car is going to do what it is supposed to do. Another example. When you walk into a room, you reach over and hit a light switch, and you have faith. You trust, you believe that a light will come on. One more. You write a check to pay a bill. You put it in the mailbox. You believe that the mailman will take it to the right place, that that letter will get to the right address, that person at that address will find your check in the envelope, and they will take the check out, and they will apply that to your account. Those are typical examples of faith. It may also be helpful to talk a little bit about what faith is not. Faith is not a form or an amount of knowledge. Your faith doesn't get stronger because you know more. Faith is not a way to manipulate God. God is not more attentive to someone who knows more or seems to have more knowledge than somebody else. The last thing that faith is not an act of your will. You can't make your faith stronger. That's up to God. So then you say, well, okay, what is faith? Faith is relational, among other things. Let me give you another example of that. A child is standing on the edge of a swimming pool. Dad is standing in the water saying, come on, jump, I'll catch you. That child trusts. That child has faith. That child believes that Dad is going to catch her. And so she jumps, and Dad catches her, just like he has done before, and just like other times when he has kept her safe. Faith is part of that relationship that we have with God, which protects and saves us. And faith is also trust and believing. It is one thing to say, when you look at one of those boards at the airport that says this airplane is headed to Denver, it's one thing to believe that. It's a whole nother thing to go get on that plane because you want to get to Denver. We trust, we believe that God's promises in the Bible are true and correct. We believe that He will honor His promises. We believe that Christ died and rose again and earned our salvation. Because if we have faith, but there's no trust, there's no belief, then that is a particularly empty faith. And faith also seeks knowledge. It is part of the family of God. We are in a loving relationship, not only with God, but with each other. And so when someone in church ends up in the hospital, we want to know, well, gee, what happened? Why are they there? What's the diagnosis? When will they be coming home? And each Sunday, we confess our faith in the words of one of the creeds. We say we have faith in, we say we believe, we say we trust those words as an expression of our faith. And so, what is the good news for us this morning about faith? Now, I may be oversimplifying this, but I think it really comes down to you either have faith or you don't. It's like the computer language is the binary language that a computer uses. The letters of that language are either ones or zeros. There's not a 1.5, there's not a 2.3. The letters are a one or a zero. You either believe or you don't. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess our faith by saying that we believe three things. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ, that He lived, that He died, that He rose again, that we are saved because of that. And we say we believe in the Holy Spirit. You either believe that Christ died for you on the cross or you don't. Faith is not something that we can measure. We can measure a lot of things in this world. You go to the doctor and they're taking all kinds of measurements. Your temperature, your blood pressure, how many times a minute that you breathe. But neither they nor you nor I can measure faith, because we cannot look into someone's heart. Only God can do that. Only God knows whether indeed you have faith. And that is strengthened by the relationship that you have with Him. So, if that's the case, where does this faith that we have come from? One of the sources that I use frequently to make sure I'm on the right track is Luther's Small Catechism. I don't know when the last time I don't know when the last time was that you looked into that little book, but there's a lot of good information in there. There are a lot of questions that are answered. So I would encourage you to have that close by when someone asks a question, or you have a question in your own mind. In that Small Catechism, Luther discusses faith in several different places. His explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed says this: I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. So what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Luther further explains in that same section. He says this, the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament gives the most precious gifts. And the first one he lists is faith in Christ, followed by forgiveness, eternal life, and sanctification. That's where our faith comes from. It comes from God. It is there within us because the Spirit of God was placed in us at our baptism. So, what about your faith today? I think if you are here this morning, then you have faith. Is that faith strong or weak? The answer is yes. Because you see, I can't look into your heart. You can't look into each other's hearts and know. So if you answer, is my faith strong or weak? If you say the answer is yes, then you believe in Christ Jesus as your Savior. And that means that your faith is strong enough. Because you see, the only way that you can be condemned is to deny Christ on the cross or to not believe. So if you believe, you have faith, and regardless of how strong or weak you may feel that faith is, if you have even a little faith, if you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, if you trust that Jesus is your Savior, that's all the faith that you need to have to reach eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.